hope that you're fully rested. You've received the program for the committee that members we're going to discuss. I'm just going to reflect on it. So I hope that you are ready for the for a very tight program, a very tight 2010, knowing that it'll be a month. Soccer World Cup is a month, isn't it? I'm sure that we will accommodate the Soccer World Cup while not really sacrificing the work that we are, we've been elected to do that. So that we'll have to be a host to the world as well as a member of this community. So it's going to be quite tough, but we hope that if we look at our programs and where we're going to do our clever planning, that we will be able to carry out the program of work. Now, when we look at the agenda, we have the adoption of the committee report and minutes. If members, if I can just take members back towards the end of last year, when we had such a busy schedule that we put time aside to adopt the report, but it was too hectic. Because the last day we also visited the Stell in Stellenbosch. Yeah. So our last day really ended up being very hectic. So we just need to look at those reports. And we have to just finalize and tighten up our issue around the committee study tour and then look at the program. So it's basically a meeting that is concerned with just the logistical side of the committee. Can we go to the committee reports and I'll ask the secretary just to take us through this?
Thanks, Chair. I would ask that I go through the annual report of the committee that I held in my house. And I would ask that the report for the Mpumalanga, if I was returned by UNISA, I would ask that she go to it as well. Thank you. Page, if you can just page over, that is page 2. There is just the component of the committee, which is the chairperson is Honorable Y. Bota, committee secretary Zola Vice. The mission and mandate of the committee is to serve as a representative of the people in reviewing, developing, and monitoring the implementation of appropriate legislation that responds to the social development needs of the people and that assists in reducing poverty and social exclusion and ensuring public participation. The committee will also, through its oversight function, ensure that social development services, programs and policies implemented by government are focused on comprehensive protection against vulnerability and on strengthening the social fabric. The department over which the committee exercises oversight is the Department of Social Development. The entities which the committee exercises oversight is the South African Social Security Agency, which is SASA, National Development Agency, which is NDA. Entities under the Department of Social Development is CDA, Central Drug Authority, South African Council of Social Service Protection, and the Disaster Relief Fund Board. Can I make a note that recently it has transpired that now the CDA will report directly to the committee as a result therefore their own separate annual report now, which is started only last year. All the years it has been reporting directly to the department. The committee had a strike plan which took place from the 5th to the 7th of August 2009 at the Townhouse Hotel Corporation Street, Cape Town. The report was adopted by the committee. Yes, it was adopted by the committee. It was not published. It was, the committee section said it was not necessary to publish it, unless the committee wants to be published. And the cost of that trip, $49,789. Budget vote consideration, referral date was 5th of June 2009. Consideration by committee was the 17th of June 2009. Public hearings, there were no public hearings when we were considering the budget vote. The report was adopted on the 3rd of July 2009. The report was published on the 3rd of July 2009. No bills were considered by the committee from last year until now. Page 4, local and oversight trips. On the 9th of September, the objective of that oversight trip, the committee intended to observe and monitor how SASSA fulfills its mandate of providing comprehensive social security. The visit was to afford the opportunity for the committee to interact with the SASSA officials and service providers, in brackets, cash payment service providers, on matters broadly related to the above identified theme. The report was considered on the 20th of October 2009 and was published on the ATC on the 30th of October 2009. The cost was $5,000. Page 5. I think on page 5 is the Mpumalanga one. That took place on the 23rd to the 27th of November 2009. The objectives were that the committee intended to observe and monitor how SASSA, NDA, and the department fulfill their mandate. The visit afforded the opportunity for the committee to interact with SASSA and department officials, social grant applicants, and beneficiaries, grant payments, service providers, and recipients of the NDA project funds. So in Mpumalanga, I thought the meeting would take place on the 2nd, but due to parliamentary program, we were asked to close the meeting today on the 3rd. So the report has not been considered yet. The cost of that trip was $327,666.44. International visits for study tours, no international visits were undertaken during that period. Papers referred to committee. It was vote 16 of the Department of Social Development, referred on the 5th of June 2009. And was considered by the committee on the 17th of June 2009, and no public hearings were conducted. It was adopted and tabled for the HEC on the 3rd of July 2009. Another paper was the threat plan of the Department of Social Development, referred on the 18th of June, considered by the committee on the 17th of June, and no public hearings were conducted. It was also ATC'd on the 3rd of July. Threat plan of SASSA for 2009, 2010 to 2011, 2012 was referred on the 17th of June, considered by the committee on the 23rd of June 2009. No public hearings were conducted and was ATC'd on the 3rd of July 2009. So that's the planning of the National Development Agency for 2009 to 2012. It was referred on the 10th of June and considered by the committee on the 23rd of June. And no public hearings were held and was ATC'd on the 3rd of July. Another paper was the report and financial statement of both systems, Department of Social Development. Included the report of the Auditor General on the financial statement and performance information on vote 16 for 2008 to 2009 The paper was referred on the 23rd of September. It was considered by the committee on the 27th of October. No public hearings. And the report was considered by the committee on the way to consider it today, which is supposed to be referred, as I mentioned earlier. The report on financial statements of South African Social Security Agency for 2008-2009 was referred on the 23rd of September, considered by the committee on the 3rd of November, no public hearings, and the report. Can I mention that these are annual reports, but this is a formal way of putting them, the parliamentary process. The fire budget report like this. So they were referred on the same date and we dealt with them on different dates, so they're going to be in one report. Okay. Reports on financial statements on the National Development Agency for 2008-2009, including the report of the Auditor General on financial statements and performance information. For 2008-2009, referred on the 23rd of September, considered by the committee on the 10th of November, no public hearings were conducted, report to be considered by the committee. Page 7, a report of the Central Drug Authority for 2008-2009. Was referred on the 11th of November, considered by the committee on the 10th of November. No public hearings were held. Report to be considered by the committee. The following paper was referred to the committee just for information purposes. A report of the Central Drug Authority for 2007-2008. As I mentioned earlier, that the CDA used to report to the department, so they've never tabled the report directly to the committee. So when they had their own separate annual report, we did ask them to forward them to the committee. So this was forwarded for information purposes. The meetings held by the committee were in total 14. The following were meetings that were held in Parliament, which also included a briefing by the department or the entities.
Minister, would you like the committee secretary to go through the remainder of the report? Would you want the committee secretary to go through the remainder of the report? Would you share a bit of detail? Not necessary. Okay. Just, okay. This is just a summary of the work that we've done for the year. Okay. Members, is there any questions on this report or additions? Are members comfortable with it? For the annual report? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Honourable members, would you? I don't think we need to table the report with the ATC. Do you think so? I don't think so. The annual report of the committee. Should we table it? Should it be published? Tabled in Parliament be part of the committee report? I mean, in terms of its, if you look at its relevance, since it's a reflection of our work, is it necessary or can we just leave it so it becomes part of our own internal documentation? If I weigh the two up, I would say, if you look at the Mpumalanga report and this report, I would say Mpumalanga report would be should be tabled at ATC. Because it's, we can also ask for a debate on the visit. You understand? So I would say that we should look at it strategically like that. I don't know whether members agree. You have another opinion? You feel free to raise it. That's why I raised that question. All of them have some committees do publish it, some they don't. They don't say it's necessary to publish it. It depends on each committee.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just asking the chairperson. Seems like this is the work of the committee. Can't you just publish it and not publish it, but not for discussion? That I can see is this is the work that the committee accomplished during this time. Or do you do it only from, you know, after March, the work for the year? Well, I'm not the outside of what happened here.
Unless there's anything urgent that we would like Parliament to know about our visit to Mpumalanga. If there are any serious problems or issues that we would like to raise, are we not going to follow up on this?
No. Can I just say, we're going to discuss Mpumalanga report.
Yeah.
Right? I was saying, We can even wait for the end of March, then we can accommodate the member in terms of our annual report.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can adapt it in terms of publication. For easy reading, we can cut out the finances
mm-hmm.
and just go into the narrative, the narrative format on the work of the committee. So why don't we go that route for the annual report of the work of the committee? We can look at that for after the 31st of March. I think we can ask the committee secretary and the content advisor just to work on a report for us for the next 3 months on the same basis that you've done. So that's a good report. Do you agree on that? And then we go to the Mpumalanga one. Okay? Yeah. But the Mpumalanga one will be published now because it is a visit that has taken place now in December. Okay? Is that fine? The minutes of the portfolio committee that took place on the 17th of November. Am I right? Over to you, Zoe.
Thanks, Chen. Minutes of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development meeting that took place Committee Room 2, ground floor, 910 Street, at 9:30 on 17 November 2009. Present ANC members, we have the Chairperson, Honorable Bosa, Honorable Mofolo, Honorable Makakula, Honorable Malchas, Honorable Nelson, and Honorable Baba. For the Democratic Alliance, Honorable Kofane and Honorable Lamula. For Congress of the People, was Honorable Tome. For Inkatha Freedom Party, was Honorable Makuba. Officials in attendance, was Yolisa Nokenga, the Parliamentary Candidate Advisor. Ms. Lana Peterson, the PLO for the Department of Social Development. And Ms. Teresa Small, the PLO for SASA. Agenda, it was a briefing by Nestle South Africa on the following, the Nestle creating shared value business rationale, Nestle efforts to contribute towards poverty eradication, possible public-private partnership models with the government. The second agenda item was adoption of all committee reports and minutes. Opening and welcome. It was done by the chairperson who welcomed everybody in attendance of the meeting. And briefing by Nestle. Ms. Pinde Lwanga, the nutrition business manager, and Ms. Mutsidis Mukwena, government, media, and CSI manager. And Mr. Ravi Pillay, Corporate Affairs Director, briefed the committee as follows. Nestle has had invested more than 1.8 billion in its South African operations, and that had left. Oh, sorry. Nestle had invested more than 1.8 billion in its South African operations, and that had led to massive job creation. The main objective of Nestle's activities were to create, maintain, and increase trust in Nestle, not only as an economically and financially successful enterprise, but also as a socially responsible company dedicated to sustainable development. Nestle was involved in a number of corporate social responsibility programs in the country, which were initiated by its employees. The corporate social responsibility programs of the company included giving expertise and support to establish emerging farmers, creating jobs in local communities, supporting early childhood development centers and schools. Nestle told the members of the committee that its Agri-BEE program was very successful. Nestle supported 29 emerging black farmers in Harrismith to become commercially viable. It collected milk from the farmers and thus provided a sustainable income to the farmers. It had partnered with government and other organizations to facilitate the provision of electricity, water, and road infrastructure to the farmers. In urban areas, Nestle started an ice cream on wheels initiative aimed at job creation and skills development amongst unemployed youth. Since 2006, 1,300 street vendors started operating in Gauteng and Durban. In collaboration with government's Umsobomvu Youth Fund, Nestle provided vendors with motorcycles, bicycles, and uniforms. The Youth Fund provided funding, training, membership, sales, techniques, and entrepreneurial advice to the youth involved in the project. However, due to city bylaws, the success and growth of the project was limited. Many cities in South Africa had a number of restrictive bylaws against street vending. Nestle made agreements with some cities to allow the vendors to trade in beachfront areas. During the interaction with the committee, Nestle further provided the following information. Nestle has 5 women in top positions. 3 of these are black. The company's scorecard reflected points for those positions. It was also reported that Nestle had a succession plan which identified suitable candidates to fill these positions and should they become vacant. the plans ensure that the company, has enough female in the top executive. It was noted that employment equity is a global initiative for the company, as it had realized that there were not enough women in management globally. The highest number of female.
Are we all very good? Yes, one country. Yeah, all kind of stuff. Is there any other?
No. It was noted that recommendations. The committee recommended that Nestle would supply the committee with the names of the NGOs that are involved in the orphans and vulnerable children programs it was running. It would give a list of schools in which the company ran programs. Nestle would provide the committee with a number of beneficiaries that had benefited from the kitchen project that it supported. The committee would have another meeting with Nestle, as the country also has a goal to halve poverty rates by 2014. The committee should have a relationship with Nestle. Next on the agenda was the adoption of all committee reports and minutes. The minutes of the 13th of October were adopted with few technical amendments. The minutes of the 20th October 2009 will be adopted in the committee's next meeting due to the fact that some of the members' copies of minutes had one paragraph that was missing. The chairperson asked the members of the committee to read through the committee's annual report, as it will be discussed in the next committee's meeting. As I mentioned earlier, chairperson, the one for the 20th, there was a paragraph that some members had and some members didn't have. Got the paragraph, so just that said was not adopted. So the coordinator advisor was going to look at that.
Honourable members, let us first apologize for the two pages. It's two pages that are missing. Yeah. Is it two? Yeah, it's two that are missing. If we go to Ken, who's the person that is responsible for logistics? Okay, can we just make sure at the end of the meeting the members get these pages? In terms of the recommendations, that Nestle would supply the committee with the names of the NGOs that are involved in the Orphans and Vulnerable Children's program that the company was running. So I think that we haven't received yet. Can we please follow up with Nestle with that? It would give a list of the schools in which the company ran programs. Nestle would provide the committee with a number of beneficiaries that have benefited from the kitchens projects that it supported. So I think all that information we need to get committee secretary. And we said we're going to schedule another meeting with Nestle in terms of looking at the contribution to halving the poverty target by 2014. And we would like to have a relationship with Nestle. Now, I followed up with Mr. Ravi Palay, and he said that because he's also, they've also been contacted the Portfolio Committee of Health, and they would like them to explore a working relationship with us. We could also visit one of the factories or the projects. I think we are more interested in the developmental side of what they're doing, the corporate responsibility. And the, I think it was very clear in the committee, the meeting that we had with them, in terms of the mapping of projects, where is it? Who are the people? Who are the NGOs? And then also in terms of the future plans. So how can we then link up with that? Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Chairperson, when a person looks at page 2, just with 3, because you're looking at like the mapping out of the projects there, I think we should just put in there somewhere that they have these social responsibility programs only where their factories are situated.
Yeah.
I think we should just add in that, in the country, which were initiated by its employees, where their factories are situated. You know, just change that sentence. Then with a recommendation, Chairperson, there was another one. We were saying you're looking at the future. You touch their future responsibilities. Where that relationship, where they work through our constituency offices. I think we should put in that recommendation too. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we've raised that, members are very well placed to indicate to them to say where's the poverty pockets and so on. So I think what we need, we just need to I would say that when they enter community, I think we raise a concern the fact that, I would agree with you, where their factories are, that's where their projects are. You know, it makes the corporate responsibility very limited. So we said that they should look at a wider net. And when they do that, they must interact with constituency office in the communities. But I think if we look at engagement with them, we should really come up with an idea or an approach in terms of how they can tackle the social responsibility on a broader scale. While keeping in mind, we are not implementing agents. If we want to keep them responsible, we need to have some distance in the matter. But I'm sure we would like to see something happening in the communities where we live. I think that's very important. Now, I think if you look at the war room and poverty approach, the policy issues raised there, and what they are doing, how can we marry the two, so that no one is running doing this side and this side, and that the two shall meet. So I think we can agree that we should have another meeting with them on future plans. That will then take care of the concerns that we've raised. If we look at the committee program, we're fairly full for March. February is March. Can we make that in April? Yeah. Let's do it in April. Is that fine? Maybe we can even have it an out-of-office meeting where we could visit one of the factories and the projects. And be hosted by them. Would members rather have that where we have visit one of the factories and the projects? Agreed? Okay. And we can put that in the recommendation that people will want to visit one of the development projects of this land. So that we can really see whether we can invite someone from the NDA with us to also just give his or her impression on whether there's value for money in terms of the project and so on. Right?
Yeah. That acronym of the CSI manager, I think it should be written in full, because I can't remember what CSI
on page 2, right at the top where they did briefing by ministry. CSI manager. Yeah, we'll just go back and then we can just make sure. Is Honorable Mima follow?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when you open the meeting, we always include apologies, but in our minutes, they don't reflect. I think it's important for the apologies to reflect on the minutes.
Okay, thank you very much for that, honorable member. I think we were quite a full house also that day. But, noted. Apologies will be included. Member satisfied? Yeah. Thank you. Can we go over on to the next set of minutes? Then we finished with that. We're going to the report is in Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be reporting within the report on the oversight visit in Mpumalanga. And maybe to just before I start, just to mention to the committee that this is a draft. And secondly, that there are two outstanding information from the report. One is the individual report from the members when we visited the service points, and also when we visited the child-headed households, because the group split into two. So I was in one report, one group, so I don't have the report from the other group. Okay. And on the other one is, you'll see on page 2, I don't know if your report is printed in color, but the last paragraph there, in my report, I highlighted it red, because you see when I report there was a query that the committee forwarded to the MEC, and I've been trying to get clarity and the person was supposed to give it to me, I was told yesterday he went on leave, even though I spoke to him last week and indicated to him that the report would be considered today. So I was promised that they would have a look and they tried to phone him and see if they can get it from his laptop. So that is still outstanding, member. Okay. I'll start with the introduction and delegation. The Portfolio Committee on Social Development conducted oversight visit on 23 to 27 November 2009 over the Mpumalanga Department of Social Development, Komazi District Municipality, Bombela Local Municipality, Bombela and Komazi Municipality Projects, South African Social Security Agency Office, Pay Points and Service Areas, and National Development Agency projects in Mpumalanga. And the members who attended over who went to the oversight visit were Honorable Chwete, Honorable Kenye, Honorable Mafolo, Honorable Makakula, Honorable Mankas, Honorable Nelson, Honorable Kaba, Honorable Kopane, Honorable Lamula, Honorable Tume, and Honorable Makuba.
The purpose of the oversight visit. The committee conducted oversight to assess progress made by the Mpumalanga Department of Social Development, Bombela and Komazi municipalities in support of social development challenges. It did this by visiting projects supported by the provincial department and municipalities. The committee also aimed at assessing challenges and achievements related to the application and administration of social grants in pay points falling within the Mbombela and Komazi district municipalities. Furthermore, the committee conducted oversight to evaluate some of the projects that are funded by the National Development Agency in two municipalities. The committee aimed to assess the following: the impact this project has on poverty alleviation, challenges and or successes this project has had, particularly relating to funding capacity, capital resources, and general functionality of the project, compliance of the non-government organizations or NGOs and or projects to the department's guidelines. Lastly, the committee visited places of safety and child-headed households to assess challenges they are facing. By conducting this oversight, the committee aimed to ascertain the extent to which the department has responded to the needs of children in need. Day one, which was on the 23rd November 2009, a welcome by the MEC for Health and Social Development, Honorable DJ Mashangu. The MEC welcomed the delegation and she provided a synoptic overview of the social challenges facing the province. She indicated that Nkomazi municipality is one of the six municipalities identified for integrated service delivery. The province has high poverty levels and is predominantly rural. This impacts on the service delivery, especially to places that are not accessible easily. Also, Mpumalanga has high foster care backlog, partly due to the impact of HIV and AIDS. Presentation by the Provincial Department of Social Development, the situational analysis. According to Statistics South Africa Community Survey 2007, Mpumalanga's population is 3.6 million. There are 890,699 people, 24%, people who live in Gat Banda district, while 1,026,501 people, 34% live in Nkangala district, and 1,526,234, 42% people live in Enhlanzeni district. With a population of 3.6 million in the province, staff shortage remains a challenge. The current 224 social workers fall short of achieving the national ratio of one social worker to 3,000 people, suggesting a staff deficit of 442. The presentation noted that the number of 113 community development practitioners continues not to meet the national norm of one practitioner over 10,000 people. Does not meet. Okay. Thank you. The survey also showed that the total number of children in the province, that children between 0 to 18 years, is 1,552,237, which is 43% of the entire population of Mpumalanga, of 3,003,064,996. An orphan survey conducted by the Department of Social Development, Population and Development in Mpumalanga during 2003 revealed that 263 of orphans.
Members, this is quite alarming. 18 pages. We can't have the content advisory reading 18 pages starts in the committee meeting. 19. It's like she's giving a state of the nation. can we just go through it page by page?
we've noted the connections that we've made, and then we can just reflect on it, because I'm sure you all got a chance to read it, because you all got it. Yeah, can we even just do that? And then she can just respond to the correction. Is that fine? So we stopped on page 2. Can we just click on page 2? Okay, on page 3,
okay, it's just a continuation of the presentation by the provincial department. It looks at the administrative structure of the province, and also it outlines the priorities of the department.
Yeah, it's the priorities that are reflected in the annual report. I'm sure you all have a copy of that.
Okay, page 4, the presentation just gave a brief overview of the programs of the department and what each program is involved with or is tasked to do or its mandate. Page 5 discusses the financial report of the department and some of the challenges that were highlighted in the presentation.
If you look at the recommendations, delegation, I think we can just go through that, okay? With the members agree. Because according to the brief, you did discuss the report as a team. So the MEC for Social Development and Health needs to pay attention to the department's low expenditure pattern, because I think by October 2009 it was at 53% at district level. Especially that there were only 3-4 months left to this current financial year. Also in terms of the MEC should address the issue of acting in the critical position, vacant positions. I'm sure it's vacant funded that you're referring to. So maybe we should say vacant funded. Okay. The MEC, she indicated that this matter has been noted and the process is in advanced stage. Okay. I think this is a matter of follow up. It's a very wise MEC not to commit in the current financial year to an unqualified order, but in the following financial year. So not for the 2009 and 10, but for 2010 and 11 financial year. Okay. We need to have a look at that turnaround strategy. We need to get that. And because she made an undertaking to give it to us. I think she should have passed it with the implementation, because your audit report comes out in September. You get your report and you implement your strategy immediately. So that strategy should have been implemented by now. So can we please get that strategy, Committee Secretary? Okay, the department should start doing a performance audit as from 2010. That was the general audit will include it. Yeah, they don't do the audit. They provide the information because the AEG's office provides to the performance audit was a regulatory audit. Okay. So this attendance should change. We should say that the department will be audited on its performance as from 2010 by the Auditor General. Is Honourable Makakul?
Thank you, Chair. We were having enough time there to discuss the report, and we are part of the report as members. And we even open that if someone wants to add or subtract something, he must send it via email. So I think for us to just read something that we know, and then it's just the waste of time. And I think yes, we can share, because we also get this in advance. And then I think we move about it. We move with it. Only let them just put those who are not part of this minute and then include it here. And then I don't think... I think this is the team that we use. And then we have enough time to check it. I think...
I don't think these members haven't made any recommendations to change the content. If you look at 2.1.28, it's the way the sentence is structured which is wrong. You see, to say that the department will be audited on its performance, because your usual audit is a regulatory audit. Now, it will also be done by the AG. So it's just the structure is wrong. But the intention is still the same. So it's just those corrections that we're making. Because members haven't made any new recommendations or anything. Okay? And I'm just commenting, because I wasn't there. So I'm just commenting on the content. Now, if you look at page 6, the last one, in terms of the recommendations, the department should assist the project to get appropriate clothing for visitors, rain boots and cups. Those are your recommendations. That's to the auditor, because I think it was for health and safety reasons. Why don't we add that? For health and safety reasons. Occupational health and safety. Yes, Honourable Member Kulme.
In that point, we can also add that we said the department should assist the project in getting appropriate clothing and also funding to sustain the project, because we would see that the project is not sustainable at all. And when we're looking, we would see that really, really maybe these fellows just came yesterday or in the morning. It is not sustainable at all. But it is there.
Okay. Okay. Then if you look at the site visit that you had to Inkaba, is it Inkaba? Inkaba. 7. Inkaba, Older Person Service Center. Right, in terms of the challenges there and the recommendations, it says the relationship between the center and the department should be strengthened to include assistance over and above financial support. So it should be financial support as well as capacity building. Yeah. So should be strengthened to include capacity building. And financial support. Monitoring and evaluation. Okay. We just, so this, I think the site visit to Sizanani home based care. There's no recommendations there. Did you leave it out? You say volunteers do not have kids that they should use to attend the trial. They use condoms and gloves. Now surely you have to have a recommendation then. If that is the case, to say that your home-based care worker should get the kids that they must get in terms of the policy. Yes. By caregivers. So there's two issues that members can actually have recommendations on. Can we just get the proposal on those two? Honourable member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding that organisation, I still believe that is the responsibility of the Department of Health and the Department of Social Development, because those caregivers, they're looking after sick patients. So the Department of Health must take the leading responsibility to find that organization to mentor them, because according to health, there's no way that a caregiver on her own or his own can look after patients without the supervision of the Department of Health, because according to the law, you are not a health professional. So you must work under the guidance of the health institution. So that need to happen. So according to the recommendation, I think maybe you can just do and say that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My one concern that I'm having is season 9 in home-based care has been funded by the Department of Social Development. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a difference between the home-based care workers for social development and the ones for health. The ones for health deals with the physical side, while the ones from social development actually deals with psychosocial support, you know. Counseling, access to grant IDs. You look after the other issues of the home. Now, the volunteers that do not have kids, I don't know whether they are all 2-in-1 volunteers. Can we get clarity on that, honourable member?
Yeah, Chairperson. Maybe my colleagues can remember very well. That is an organization where we visited. They were situated next to the clinic. The clinic is also referring the patients to them, though they are funded to social development. That's why I say it's a joint responsibility between between social development and the Department of Health. But in their case, it seems as if health is not bringing their responsibility to help them, though they assist the Department of Health, because their referrals, they were also saying that they are also doing that, if you remember very well. They are also looking after TB patients.
I would like to ask this. Okay. Can we, I think then we send that, that recommendation. Department of Health must give kits for home-based care. And then the abuse of the foster care grant should also be investigated by the Department of Social Development. Okay. Honourable Member Kilmer.
I just want to check the line, which is saying caregivers who receive foster care grant in some cases. Those caregivers were giving a report that people are getting foster care grant and don't care for children. I don't think it's caregivers here who receive foster care. I don't know, you may rectify if I'm mistaken. It's the community today. They were raising the point that the people are calling them names, because they identify the problems that are created by the communities by mismanaging maybe the funds from the department.
Okay. Just in terms of the
solution,
can you say
that
foster care
abuse should be investigated by the Department of Social Development? And the committee needs to be kept abreast about some of that investigation in that area. Then, the issue around, there's a communication issue, we can then say, and there's negative perceptions about home care workers. So, and the best people to resolve it is the department to come and address the community and break down that those negative perceptions. And I think Honourable Member Mahakula, that's where the MEC can come in with a message to break down those negative stereotyping. Yes, I think is that a recommendation? Yeah. So we have to demystify it, because people need to get used to the fact that there's going to be home-based care workers with a pandemic, the infection rate, in every community. And that home-based care workers is there to help and not to alienate. So if we can ask the MEC for Health and Social Development in Mpumalanga to go and address the community, to break down the negative stereotyping that is taking place, so that the community can accept home-based care workers. Okay. If you look at the home-based care, it overflows into both areas. So if she goes and she addresses the health and the social development team. But being an MEC is fine. It's because you will have two DDGs that will be running two departments. So I think she'll be more busy than the colleagues in the other provinces. But in Mpumalanga and Limpopo have been doing this since 1994. So I think they have their way of doing these things. I think we should be cautious not to recommend anything like that. That's the job of the NCLP. When we go to the SOS Children's Home, yes.
To discuss something that we picked up, I don't see it within the challenges here. When a person looks at the SOS village, they receive a subsidy from the government too. But the subsidy they receive is 3 times the foster care. I think it's about 2,100 per child. And I was wondering, could we not have a finding there? Because it sounds a bit exorbitant, you know, when a person looks at a province that's so poor, that the recommendation should be that they should receive the foster grant payment, plus I think there's, is it the care dependency grant, where you look after people, and rather receive the foster and the care dependency instead of receiving 2,100 per child. Because it's just like money is being dumped. Because if you look at them, they receive funding from BMW, PPC Cement, KFC, Sappi, Pick and Pay, and Tiger Brands. So I know, I think let us just discuss it on how, because how do people feel about that? And you yourself, seeing that you were in the department before.
Let me just give clarity to members. You, in terms of your funding, homes are subsidized. So if the funding, what's the funding per child? Per child from the department. Yeah, it's not bad. Subsidy per child. I think it's actually very good. But you must also remember, out of the subsidy that they do, it's for the children. In the home, it's a lot of running costs. It has the maintenance, it has to pay the staff. So in social development, NGOs are encouraged also to look for funding elsewhere besides the subsidy from government. So that's why it's called a subsidy. So you will have a subsidy that will take care for the needs of children. But you will get institutions like Pep Stores, Ackermans, who will donate sporadically clothes, the Rotary Club, clothes to the children and so on. So a home has a lot of challenges. And with your kids growing also all the time. So the need of the child changes over time. So the department also needs to look at the increase of inflationary increase, and most of the time there's not inflationary increase because of budget pressures. So it is not a bad subsidy to be paid to to a home, especially where, in terms of your concept, it's not kids are not just put in rooms, they live in family homes. The approach is actually very good for that. So it's. These kids are not receiving the foster care grant. Is the home receiving? If they're getting a subsidy for kids, and then there's also those that are foster parents, the fostering children. So yeah. I just got one concern that if they are getting a subsidy from social development while they're getting foster care grant, if it's for the children are living in the home, those are receiving foster care grant, then it's fine. But they shouldn't be double subsidized. Yeah. But if you look at the old age home, the older people, they get the old age pension because they're entitled to it by law, right? And the government is subsidizing that old age home because you can't run the home just on what the old people are paying. Otherwise, they won't be getting a good service. So it is one of those services that government must subsidize for those people to be accommodated. And the same goes for the homes. For them to break even, they need to look elsewhere for funding.
Percentage of staff remuneration. That was the issue too, I remember. It was the percentage was very high. Yeah.
And there was a financial statement of the contract was found here on that one. I think that's really
important. Thank you, Chair. The main worry in that SOS children's home is that one, when they visited there, nobody can say we saw the children, we saw this home, we saw the mothers who are staying with these children. So it was not verified, even the number of the children that are staying there. On the first day, the person was not ready, yet he knew that we were coming. And he said he didn't know that we were coming. So there was a communication breakdown. But all in all our accommodations will say that project needs to be monitored. Strictly monitored, because these are government funds, and at the same time, even if we walk that man at night and say, how many children do you have? He didn't know the children, but, oh, the lady is coming. He didn't know what amount the government is paying per child. So there is some issue there. We need to either we have to follow that project. We have to revisit, or we have to ask some members to revisit that project, and it must be monitored so that the government is not spending money for the luxury of one or two people.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with the Honorable Kuma, Chairperson, because I explained in this thing of the NGO that they're stealing the money of the government. Sometimes, you know, when I'm where I'm staying in Ivory Park, there is an NGO that is going collecting the food parcel in the Pick and Pay. At the same time, that food parcel is supposed to go to the person that who is sitting with the illness, but is giving their friends. He said he's telling their friend to say, you must come with 20 rand for the petrol car when you get a full parcel through your house eating. But there is no one who has an illness, because that food specifically is going to the people who are sitting with the illness. Maybe it was a TB or HIV and AIDS to drink the tablets. But he, every time and again, he said, ask us to go collect this, what do you call it? The food person give their friends bring it the 20 rand every time again. You know, I think it's good to emphasize this thing of the monitor the NGO seriously. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can we then in the recommendation the issue of the school fee that they should apply for no fees? School fee exemption. That's number one. Number two, that can we ask Honourable Member Mabagula to visit the SOS village to get a report from the village itself on the occupants of the centre, the children, how many children are in the care of parents, foster care parents, how many children are in care of the home in general, and also get us a clarification on the state of finances of the SOS village. If we are not happy, we can always summon them to Parliament. So we need those clarities that they haven't given us. Can we do that?
Yes, Chairperson, but we will request the Secretary to send the letter to the department and to let us know.
Yeah. We need to look at facilities management. Then it will be monitored because it gets a subsidy. There's a contract, there's usually a service level agreement between ISA Israelich and the department. So the department must do the monitoring and evaluation. They must also go into quality assurance from time to time. So if we can get, at the end of the financial year, get a quality assurance report from the department, I'm sure that will help us. Okay?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the point that you are making that we should send Honorable Magagula to go and investigate that is very important, and I think we should put a time frame on that, seeing the agency of the matter, because we were really not happy. But to say that we, as the Chairperson and the Secretary of the Committee, to maybe after agreeing with time at the management level, this Honorable Magagula should be a official trip visit sent by the committee.
It will be fixed in the minutes of the committee that Honorable Magagula has been mandated to do that. So we, obviously whatever you'll do will be what is left of the committee's budget. Yes, Honourable Member Kupani. Yes, can just in terms of the time frame, can we say it should be before the end of the financial year, before the 31st of March? Thank you. That's the quality assurance report that you will get to us later. Thank you.
Chairperson, can I suggest something? Is it possible that Mr. Magagula must be accompanied by one of the officials, especially the 18th, that lady, I can't remember his name? Because that place, it was so controversial. It needs somebody, Mr. Magagula must be accompanied by a visit, especially that visit. Because it's an 18 billion, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to be there. Because, yeah, 18 HOD. Because if you remember very well, it's unfortunate that the shepherd was not there. Even the group amongst ourselves, we ended up being divided. Because we're not happy about the way that SOS has been run by those people. So really, Mr. Magagula must be accompanied by somebody there. And we need to have a report that reflects exactly what is happening after we left there.
Yeah, I'm sure that is the mandate.
I depend more on the secretary to assist by communicating with those people.
In terms of page 9, this is just the briefing by SACA on the grant types and the beneficiary profiles. And then on page 10, your ICOP, the achievements, page 11, and then we come to the challenges. The presentation reported the following challenges encountered by the regional office. There you have it. It's 4 challenges. The initiative and responses to challenges. Then the financial report. Concerns from the delegation on page 13. Delegation raised concerns regarding the high vacancy rate, which is at 60%. It was also concerned about the lack of privacy as the screening area is not partitioned. So your confidentiality is a bit compromised. And then the recommendation there is SACA should have regional audit reports so as to enable members of parliament to scrutinize audit reports of each region. Now that is a bit difficult, Honourable Members, in terms of the structure of your regulatory audit. I think maybe what we can do, we may have a quarterly report just for SACA to reflect on the performance in terms of its financials and its mandate to just give us an indication there. But just a region breakdown. Can we do that? Because not in terms of the order, you want to have a regional breakdown. It's not possible. Yeah, SASA should in its quarterly report to Parliament reflect on the performance of regions. Can we do that? We just amend it. No? SASA should in its quarterly reports to the portfolio committee reflect on the performance of the region. Then we went to the Nkomazi local. Ms. Bennett, yes?
In afternoon, the board will be defined. I'm turning the second sentence to challenge.
Is exacerbated?
Is a problem of the change in name of
Everything must apply to another. Do you want to make a recommendation on a synthetic challenge? Okay, no, that's fine. So can we say that we need the SIU, the copy of the report, or be briefed on the report? If members like that? I think we also raised it on the Women Marapula one. I think that's why we also went to that area, to say that that is a concern for us. So we can make it as one of our recommendations that as soon as the SIU investigation is completed, that the committee be brought on board in terms of its outcomes and the recommendations and the actions of the people. Is that fine? I think that will also help you with your constituency work in that area. You do not want that?
Which place? Command? Pardon?
It is a challenge. The SIU is investigating. So we would like to see what is the outcome and the recommendations of this investigation and what's the department going to do about it. You know, you can have, you've heard of lots of forensic reports lying somewhere, nothing is being done about it. So we want to know, we mean business. What is the department going to do? So our recommendation should be that the committee should be kept abreast of the outcome of this SIU investigation into this matter of grant abuse by foreigners, and that the department must come and explain to us how they are going to implement the recommendations to eliminate this phenomenon. Page 14, Nkomazi Local Municipality. We look at the challenges there on page 15. It says illegal immigration results in backdrop and service delivery in terms of your basic services, water, electricity, and then the lack of ID documents and some home-based care workers that that are volunteering. The delegation was concerned about the lack of sustainability of projects. It asserted that there is a need to conduct a needs analysis of communities. It concluded that there needs to be a needs analysis conducted by of communities. Then you had a meeting with additional leaders. Is that where you had the encounter? So, volunteers, the challenge is there on page 16. Volunteers do not have kits that they need to attend to the fair. So obviously, in terms of your recommendation, would be that the Department of Social Services should look into that, or social development. Then you visit the Matsuru Bay Point, and you also visit Jeppes Reef Bay Point.
Sitting next to the entrance to the wall, and people had to pick up their item from them, take it in, come back, leave the item, leave the money, and start all over again. And when we stopped to look at them, we viewed them. They were just sitting like it is nothing. And some people told us that sometimes the people that come up leave their whole pension with them. And to me, it appeared to be foreign, honestly. Some of them were seriously foreign. And we must come back.
They're not paid, it's a volunteer thing. They request the government to provide them with meals. And that is not, that is supposed to be the service provider. So if it's CPS or pay, they should provide that. Yeah.
They are getting very little from the government. They cannot afford to provide those people doing voluntary work with a tin of cold drink or some sandwiches.
I think it's
too
long.
There are a couple of hundred or thousand people coming to Bay Point. I think one should get the charities involved, public participation, to at least get some soup as we do in the other areas. You know? And correctional services might just do some soup, especially in winter. Some of those old people are suffering from either are diabetic or their high blood suffers or whatever, you know, and sitting there for hours without being able to have something to eat is just not on.
Yes, Chair, I think the SAFA got this session that called it the customer care. I think the customer care should come out with the care program of in the pay point. Then I agree with the members that some of the money is been kept by the volunteers before it go to the rally owner, and that is wrong. So I think also the customer care should come up with a very strategic plan to allow this payment to flow directly from the machine to the owner. I think it's that chapter.
You have an RDP fund, you can use your RDP fund to look after the volunteers. but I know it's been used for the upgrade of service points. So can we ask SACA to look into that and come back with the response, because we have SACA here with us to look into those issues, those challenges, and come back. But I think we should just take out the issue of pay points, because volunteers are not paid. They're not paid anyway. That is now a straightforward community service. But I think that that the service provider, because it's not government responsibility to provide them with food. It is a service provider. So we should change it to say the service providers should at least assist those volunteers with some breakfast, since they are starting very early in the morning to do volunteer work at pay points. Because if those volunteers are not there, it's chaos. And I'm sure that the security guards won't be enough to manage the chaos at the pay points.
I think, Chairperson, the issue of the volunteers, we must be clear and concrete. Because, you know, sometimes these volunteers is a problem of the African National Congress to say the people must volunteer before we get a job. I think now it's enough to say people must volunteer for the 5 years without getting nothing, getting the breakfast only. They have children, they have some people that are maintaining in their home. They volunteer because of they said maybe the government it could do something about it then. But if that doesn't do anything, it's gonna end up in stealing the money of the government. It's gonna doing the crime. It's gonna commit in the crime when we go every time and again you go to work, but you come with the empty hands in your house. But every children come look at you up there. It doesn't give you nothing. Comrade, we must be careful about this thing, Honorable Chairperson. We must talk with the government with this issue of the volunteers. It must be, I don't agree with the, we must volunteer for the past 3 years. The 1 year is enough, 2 years is enough. After that, you must getting paid, or no matter is little, how little it is, but you must getting something in your hand to give your when the month is at the end of the month, you're getting some sugar in your house, when tea, everything. But you can't afford everything, but some little money is better than nothing. Thank you.
Yeah, but let me just remind honorable member that most of the people volunteering at the pay points receive grants. There are old age pensioners and they are received of either foster care or CSG. So they can't be get paid from government twice. The law doesn't allow that. So, but I think usually they have parties and stuff for volunteers where they really treat them well. But you have to you can't have a paid volunteer. And if you have if you employ people, you must pay them a certain wage, because we have these by law you have to pay people a certain wage for doing certain work. Now they just work twice a month at pay point. So it's like once or twice. It's 2 days. So it's not continuous, you see. So so that does make them a bit different. But they will be doing that for 10 years. But sometimes those older people are also linked to the luncheon clubs and to activities. So they are community workers, per se, in general. Honorable McGoldman?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. You know, Chair, that people are being abused. They are abused by the service provider. The service, it's the service provider, not the government, who has to see to it that those people are assisted. Because they also abuse the pensioners. In this sense, if you want to be in the front row you must be the first, then you have to give a bribe, maybe to the person. So if you are abused, you develop to be abusive. You know, if you go in those areas, if you go to another area to get your pension, where you don't normally get it, let's say you visited a friend, then you go there and get your pension, you will be charged by the service provider a sum of 10 rand. We don't think it is there or it is catered for, it's just abuse. And sometimes when they get their money from the machine, it is not the actual amount that the person is supposed to be getting. Maybe it's short of 200 rand. The people that were reporting that. So I think the service provider has to be called to order. Yeah. Because people are saying the government is not giving us money. It's giving us 1,000 rand this month, and then the following month is 800 rand. So there is something that is being made there by the service provider. But all the same, the report has to go to the department. So the department must know. People are scared to go and report that our monies are short and everything. So I think really, really, the department has to know the problem that those people are encountering.
Do you want to break for a walk? Okay. Let's have a body break of 5 minutes. The money lender. Can we have a resolution on the money lender? I think it's a matter we picked up in the Western Cape, we now have picked up in Malanga.
Down like a very strong recommendation, because if the money lenders are taking like the farm out there, the two of us were together walking around, taking the people's eyes, etc. So can't we have a recommendation where we don't even allow them at the point and taking eyes, etc.?
Number one, the Identity Act of South Africa, which is supposed to be enforced by the South African police, is very clear that your identity document is your property. It should not be held as security by anyone. That's why MPs would sporadically go and demand, or anyone, or councillors, or the police, or whoever, will demand the IDs back from the Shipi. Or the police, we will send the police and say, please, that shipping owner is keeping the IDs of the people and the CPS cards or the pay something cards. So that is against the law. So what we need to do, we haven't seen a serious enforcement of the law of people that have been prosecuted. So we need a few examples to be made. And I think that should be reflected in our recommendations. And where we need to hold the department accountable and SAPS, because SAPS is not serious, because managers of SAPS have laid charges and it wasn't investigated by the police nor by the NPA. So I think here we need to, our recommendation should involve SAPS and the National Prosecuting Authority.
Is it possible that somehow we need to work with the municipalities in terms of the bylaws regarding the pension day, how, which people are supposed to be there to serve and to do whatever? Because that's where our people are being abused and let people take opportunities. Maybe the bylaws will be there when the police arrive there. If we are doing anything, before many people are away from that area, yeah, there should be law enforcement. But we need to make an example.
In terms of our recommendations, we say municipalities should enforce the bylaws regulating vendors operating and other businesses operating during paydays. Yeah? Number one. Second one? The IMA and the Mashon Lisa issue, we need to gel together. And I suggest we do the following. Say that we recommend to Parliament that, number one, we should get SAFSA in, the National Prosecuting Authority, and the commercial branch of SAP. We call the three in. We want the national directors here. And they must explain to us why charges that have been laid by SAFSA against Mashonisa is not prosecuted. They are operating illegally. And then we want to know whether, instead of having another SIU investigation, we want examples made of people that are exploiting the poor. Because their rates are exorbitant. I'm sure they're not even registered as financial services providers. Right? The financial services sector, so there's an ombudsman. We, as a committee, we can request the ombudsman, can we do that, to look into these services that are provided. I'm sure SAFSA can provide us just with one inspection of PayPoint, who are the companies that are operating and what are their rates. Whether these come, whether this is fair or not to the people out there. Okay? Yeah.
I'm just interested in what you mentioned, Chairperson. Because as well, so one of my friends who work, even when it comes to the funeral undertakers, some work fly by night. So you are correct in giving this recommendation, where you look at everyone at that same point.
A lot of money. It's money that has been paid, it's taxpayers' money that is going to criminals. So we need to stop it. Now, we have an example of the Western Cape, the SAPS police not caring about that. And that you can't just hear about it as an MP and walk away from it. So can we recommend that we call SAPS and the NPA to a meeting and they must explain to us what are they going to do about it. And why haven't they prosecuted what happened to that case? We want to know what happened to that case. So Teresa, we need to get us that details of that Western Cape case. You remember when we went on oversight? Yeah. Okay. We want the case. I think we should get the case number and everything and give it to the NPA so they can come back to us and report on that. Yeah.
While we're outside. Can't we have a debate on this aspect to show that we need business? Or is the report going to be debated? Then it's brought in with the debate.
So I'm saying, I think we can debate it. I think we can table the report if the committee if that's the unanimous decision, that we debate the issue in Parliament. And we will then reflect on the issue of loan sharks and of insurance brokers and so on. And then have a whole reflection on services that are there for the poor. Because we want the poor, because we know municipalities are overwhelmed with paupers' funeral requests. So the budgets are 3 months later exhausted. We want the poor to be more in charge. We want the poor to save their money. But at the rate how things are going, they're not saving. They are more in debt. Although, if they look 10 years back, they are supposed to have more money now. But because of the practices out there, the cash flow is depleted even before they get paid. Right? Yeah. So how do you protect the interests of the poor, but also how do you empower them to make those decisions to take charge of their lives? Yeah. So I think it's a good way of actually looking at that. But you take a developmental approach to this whole thing. So we can debate it. I don't have a problem. I think it'll be good to bring this thing out in the open, once and for all. I'm sure it's also going to have criminals sitting up straight in their chairs and knowing that we are now going to gun for them as a committee and as parliament. Okay? Right. Then, there's, I'm sure the site visited the JPS Reef Pay Point, the challenges, members are supposed to submit individual reports of comments that they had. Oh, come on, we can't put this thing in. No. I'm just looking at 4.2.2. Some beneficiaries told the delegation that straight point committee members, what elderly mean, do not want women wearing charge. Now, this is not us. I'm sure the women must not be intimidated. There's no law prohibiting them in this country from wearing trousers. They can actually take those men to the Constitutional Court and to the Human Rights Commission. So let's not mention it in our report. One beneficiary indicated that she lost her husband. Yeah, that is just for our purposes. Yeah. Can we ask Honourable Member Makagula to check that up, please? Then the visit to the Masi Kukumi Masi Kukumi, yeah, Masi Superman. Am I right? Women's Crisis Center. We look at the challenges. The center does not have a long-term shelter for survivors. Survivors are referred to the nearby local shelter. So I said, is it Louisville or Lovo?
Louisville.
It has a high staff turnover that volunteers leave for secure employment opportunities. Yeah. Okay. There's no recommendations. Because the long-term shelter, places of crisis centers are just referral centers. They are not there for accommodation. Then the delegate, the site visit to childhood households, I'm sure you found this in a very rich experience. Can we assist with these issues? We can also ask that the department to take up and then just come back to us. We don't need to refer to them. And you see, in a report, you don't really go for an issue like this. You should raise the issue around swapping identities, as to mention in the report, and that there is this matter that is there. And then in terms of the recommendations, if you specify like that, just to say that this matter must be referred to the department to clear up Teresa. The matter of 4.3.2, that this matter should be followed up by SASA in the region. Oh, we said, and the Honourable Member Magagula. Good. He will follow up and then just give them committee a press matter. Household 2.
Household 1.
Yes.
I did make a follow-up. The members requested me to make a follow-up. But I'm also going to make a follow-up in this matter. Here is a problem in the Home Affairs. The problem is that one woman was not having an ID. That guy was having two wives. One wife doesn't have an ID. The other one has an ID. And he bad child. And then he died, the other one. When the other one, she died, and then she remained with one wife. And the kids of the one who died, pardon? Yeah, one died. And then the problem of Home Affairs is understandable. But I think it needs more intervention. Is that this woman said, no, I've got kids. My kids is spent on this year. He takes them to the Home Affairs. And then the same woman again has the kids. If you check, you can't have the kids in 6 months. He takes, so the problem that he didn't take her child. He takes the child of the one mother who was passed away and go with him to Home Affairs to get an ID. And then when he comes back, and then he's supposed to take his child to the Home Affairs. And then the Home Affairs said, no, you can't. you can't. In 6 months, when you already bad again. No, you didn't want it. And then that is the problem. And the problem is with her child. And the problem now, she's already passed away. Okay. So there is no any parents there. But they did have the death certificate. They did have everything. You can't lie because there is a death certificate of the woman and there is a death certificate of the man. But it can't correspond to the home affairs because it can't bet while he was having a child in 6 months. And then that is the problem.
Thank you, Chaperson. I think, Chaperson, this thing is easy because in our rural area we have Induna, we have Inkosi, we have all these type of leaders. You're gonna go to the what you call to the home affairs, talk the truth, to say this child is born on the different mother. It's not a one mother, but it's a one father in the different manner. Because that woman who passed away afterwards, he's a talking liar on that time because he wants to achieve to get the both of them the IP. But the liar is appearing in the home office to say, no, you can't get a child in the 6 months. But now, already all of them is passing away. The Honorable Makakona, he must go to the Induna in court talking the truth to say that women is a talking liar on that time because the child, he need to get an ID now because he's already in the grade 12. We don't know now what must I do with this child because all of them is passing away, three of them is passing away. But it's true to go to the Home Affairs, talk the truth, to say,
I think you've just given the solution to the problem. So not the home affairs. Home affairs is sitting with a problem because of people that were afraid, you know, they're going to lose their citizenship. So. But the more family lies, the bigger the problem. So I think the approach of bringing the Khosi to her own affairs with the children, or even a priest for that matter, and sorting it out like that, because I'm sure they don't even have birth certificates, if that is the case. Yeah. And you know, if you don't have a birth certificate or an ID, you are in deep trouble. Okay? Yes, I'll come back to you on
the department. The Department of Home Affairs allows the affidavits. There is an uncle for those children who's living in another area. If those children can just call the uncle to their place, then on the date when Honorable Makakula agrees, then they will sit together with the uncle. Honorable Makakula is a commissioner of oaths. The uncle will be doing the statement, and Honorable Makakula will be writing the statement in an affidavit that we were given here, and then put a stamp. Then that affidavit will be accepted by the Department of Home Affairs.
Yeah, in this our commissioner. I say it's in members of parliament are commissioner. Yeah, there's a solution.
To add on that. The council, he has a power to do that. I know in my council, in my old Winner space, my council is doing this thing. When they get a through, what's it called? Through evidence. The truth evidence. They're doing this in council. They go to court, small court. They make hands up, say, causing fees. I want to talk the truth here.
But we, as members, we've got that authority. We don't even have to go to the counselors or whoever or the police. We've got the forms with us, we've got the stamps, and then we have to put our signatures there. I've done that in case of where they were having problems. I took the family, I took this affidavit of mine, I went to the head of the department or Home Affairs, and then the problem was solved.
Honestly, this case now it was in court, and then still there is this stumbling block. But I check it. But I think the easy way is to request the intervention of the Minister of Home Affairs, and then said, no, we realize this problem is there, and then we need the assistance. I think on that level, it would be simple, because Minister, if he says the word, I'm going personally to speak with Minister Kikaba, but I think as the Department of the Social, as the Committee of the Social Development, we realize this problem, and it's a big problem. And then we'll keep on realizing such things. So I think we have to engage that committee, because really, in law, it can't, because that is the machine is programmed, that this woman, if he bet, he will bet, and it is programmed. They said the machine is programmed. There is nothing that you can do unless you take this child, say, no, this was not your mother, and then you will...
That's where the affidavit comes in. Because that is what she's saying, the affidavit will nullify what fraud has been done, and so they can rectify the situation. So Home Affairs will change the system, will change whatever is on the system to correct it. Yeah. Okay? But I think you've just solved the problem to say that you engage the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, and then he will send his officials to go and sort this thing out, and you just keep us abreast. Okay. Then the household two. Yeah, a child in a household, they are entitled to food parcels from social services and from SASA, from social services every month, in terms of the policy of social services. Then, household three. Just the last, they used the money to buy furniture for the house. Is there a problem with that? Yeah. They must sleep on a bed. They must have a place. Okay. So, things are going fine. Good. And they're getting a monthly income of a foster care grant. Okay, that's fine. Then, site visits to the NDA. Okay, then findings of this delegation. B. Was part of the delegation B? Is it these kids of our whole three? Oh, the visit to triple option furniture.
Yes.
Okay. Can you just help me out here? No.
There was a household where there were children, but the mother left with a boyfriend, underage children. And the mother left with a boyfriend, and those children are being cared for by a sister that does not even live with them. We went through the house, and I said that, I don't know in the other laws, other countries, but I know abroad, parents are liable for their children all the way. And in South Africa, I don't think we have a law are protecting children, that if a mother or a father, well, father supports, but if a mother neglects or leaves that the children, underage children, on their own in a home, that she is it's abandonment, yeah, and she should be challenged on that one. And somebody says there that they know where the mother is, but no, but something must be done to that mother. Remember the house we went to? Shem, it was so sad to see those two children.
They were
not
twins.
Was the last
of
members? What part of that allegation?
It's Mach,
Oliver Mimachas, and Damula, and Kopane. Now, Honorable members, we need that information to complete the report.
No, we spoke about this one in the morning. Of, before we left, we gave details on this one. I know I have my own file with me. But we will work on that again.
Then we can just approve the thing. Because I think what you, in terms of your recommendations, if there's two parents, they can both be charged with the child abandonment, and if there's one, it's only the one, obviously. And then we need to have a caregiver. There needs to be appointed a caregiver if there's a child that is 18, or a relative, as you say. Otherwise, we need to, the kids need to be placed in foster care. But if it's children that are living fairly independently, we can just provide a caregiver to the family. So maybe even if they are part of the circle of care that the department is providing, then you can have child care workers that will be looking after them. So I think that kind of link up we should look at. Yeah.
I don't think the department really follows up or monitors the situation that well. Because the day when we went there, the food parcel also went with us.
Okay.
But that was the only food parcel that they received after a very long time.
They need to be, if they are living on their own, they should receive a food parcel every month. Because the social relief policy of our social development makes provision for that. And then social development need to come and send the social workers, make an assessment whether they should be placed under foster care, or they should be a caregiver, like a child care worker, that will then take care of the family. Don't need to live in, but you will come every day, you know, and check whether the needs have been met, and it's full and so on. And in some projects, you call it circle of care, where you look after child and household. Yeah.
The most problem in that area is the social workers. They are understaffed. That's why it was not even easy for them to do the regular home visit or to keep up the progress what is happening. So that's where we need to really
change
the
thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I think now
the members have this hindsight. Can you work on that and then we can just conclude next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Then the visit to the on page 18, we just want one page left. You've had a very hectic program. Well, hard for your money. Yes. But it's good. I think it was good. When I look at the challenges, I think it's quite inspiring. The challenges, the project had problems in accessing markets, and so on. The recommendation is the NDA should assist the project team to get a contract with the Department of Education.
You know, all these projects never do a market research to see what markets really need or where markets can buy into the project. Eventually, they start making manufacturing goods that cannot sell, and that is where the problem comes, because either capital status or they have no income that they can generate. So I thought to address that projects need to do marketing and research before really entering into these projects, or just kick off and make projects and don't even know if Loveless will buy. Get a space from Loveless. This is the type of bed that we sell, like the School for the Blind in Worcester does. And they make beds for all furniture stores. They can buy from this because it adheres to the specifications that they put out. I think that is the problem, because they really make good things, good furniture, and they can go quite far. But the market, the type of furniture that they market is not, how can I say, they do not have market. It is because not first going to the furniture shop, exploring what the furniture shops need and will buy. Like an ordinary table with four chairs is a sale every day if people come in for things like that, you know, instead of making wall units. People furnish their homes or build homes, and then they do kitchen covers or bedroom covers, and that's safe for a lifetime. You know, and that's the type of thing that should be, the NDA should help them there to at least explore the real market that they can cater for.
Can I make this proposal that when I looked at all the recommendations here, that you see, because when the NDA approves a project, your marketing and your the issue of the sale, because they do a due diligence, right? To me, the fact that these people are struggling with the market seems to me that the NDA has slipped up somehow along the line. Now, if you look at the province itself, the Department of Economic Affairs, you call it product promotion and marketing. So if we can ask the Department of Social Development to approach the Department of Economic Affairs in Mpumalanga, so that Economic Affairs can make these projects part of the product. Project promotion campaigns, but also when you look at your tourist information, all your expos and so on, but also look at a marketing strategy for each project, but looking at your local market and then looking at your broader your international market, your national market, so that these projects become sustainable, because I think we're all in agreement marketing the goods is a project, is a problem. Obviously, maybe they kicked off really well, but now they're stuck. Okay? And then we also need to ask the NDA if this project is now going, they should look at some capacity building now, and as soon as this project is going into the commercial phase, then obviously they will have to talk about it. But I think the only way for projects to go after a while is to go commercial, to keep itself viable. But you kick off, obviously, building that momentum. So can we ask that social development assist with product promotion through economic affairs and that these projects should become then financially and commercially viable. Honourable Member Makapula.
Thank you, Chair. I think we also recommend, we also recommend that the Department of Education, there is a desk that are grabbed, and then it's part of the marketing. It's part of the marketing that they can sustain. There is in the old schools in all around in the village, and find that the bells are problems, and then they can say they can fix it. The only thing is that we recommend that the Department of Education, but we indeed spoke with the person, with the member, with the social social development MP to speak with the MEC of Education, so that that thing will be happening. I think that will be part of marketing, not focusing on building those wardrobe and the wall regard on the kitchen, but also being part of the progressive marketing.
I think buildings and the NDA should assist the project team to get a contract with the Department of Education for the refurbishment of old desks. Okay? And then the project should also write a proposal of hospital bed refurbishment. I think that's good. And the NDA should assist the project members in securing space in which project products can be displayed. And then, yeah. The last one is the Department of Economic Affairs should work together with the Department of Social Development and assist us with a project on product promotion. Is that fine?
Yes.
Yes.
And just to give you a bit of a background, this was a very interesting project. Because you could see there they working with Micah too, like you spoke about commercialization. And in a way, they were sustainable, but it was just the space they were in and where they were situated to. Yeah, it was a very good project. Yes, the place. If you look at the salaries of the project, a project is not supposed to make money in terms of salaries. People, you start off with getting very little. So, and I think this is a very good example. The people get basically a living wage, just a basic wage, because the project is about making it through your effort and your sacrifice and making it viable. Yeah, this is a sacrifice.
To buy, if you can read on shade cloth again.
Yeah.
Now there's no money to buy the shade cloth because everybody's drawing something from it and nobody knows if it's going to be maintained.
Yes.
And that's the
It's a lot of people on the project, 150 workers. It's a lot of people. So I think we can leave the challenge like that and say just one challenge and take up the issue. And then the concerns of the delegation is there. I think, can we just swap to say the concerns of the delegation before the challenges? And this is the end. Is there any concluding paragraph of people finding it? For the report? I want to say that Honourable Member Magagula was quite instrumental in the arrangement of the oversight with the committee secretary and the images office in Mpumalanga and in SASA. So that I think they've made, if I look at the report, it's quite substantial report. And it touches on every aspect almost of social development. Because it's you deal with children, older child, your development, your projects. So it's actually, it's our first oversight visit that is really wide. And I think that is good, because we touch, in terms of our mandate, we almost touch on every field that we really work with. It's a very comprehensive report. That's why I think you walked yourself into the ground when you did that. Let us say in conclusion that if we reflect on the work that has been done, the project that we visited, the interaction with communities and officials, that monitoring and evaluation of projects, whether are wonderful funding, whether subsidized funding, should be monitored and evaluated continuously by government. And also in terms of quality assurance. When you do quality assurance, you also look at whether they adhere to the Act, to the service standards, you know. Service standards is extremely important, whether they are adhering to service standards. So that when those reports are coming out, you can actually see, because it's also for the benefit of the organization, how to improve service standards. And that is very important. It's quite complicated to do it, but it is a must to do it, especially where organizations are receiving government money. And I think we have to emphasize that. Yeah, I'm the member.
Another thing that we need to emphasize, Chair, is the partnership between the department and the chief. Having that problem of these people, the immigrants, coming in those borders, the chief of the area or the headman knows clearly that the families who are in my jurisdiction are these and those and those. So we'll have problem solving if we engage them fully in participating, even in these people who are coming for grants and those people who are going for home affairs, for ideas and all those things. They need to be engaged. And they also requested, the chief requested, that they must be part of the developmental program in their area so that they can assist the departments and the government.
That's very important. In social development, partnerships are key to your success. So we say that the department must engage the horses or the additional leaders in the areas to work with them, especially in your border areas, so that the abuse of grants where people shouldn't be fronting as of African citizens if they are not. I think we're not against the fact that people from other countries, when they get citizenship out of Africa, that they get social grants or through any other legal process. The issue is where people use the identity of others to get grants. And I think that is a problem. So what we need to do, we need to then say that I think SASA has started that initiative in the border areas, eventually, with the traditional leaders, Home Affairs, and SAPS, to look into those matters. And I think somewhere in the report I read that you were not very happy with the border control in those areas. So the border control also needs to be tightened up. Okay, can I get Mocha, Papane, and then the Magakula will conclude?
Chairperson, I agree with the way you put it down, because we were quite, they showed us actually factors of where people just go through a gate to cross the border, you know, on the days of Quran, where they just come through. So you are correct, you know, these are the border control things. Thank you.
Chairperson, somehow, in our conclusion, we need to indicate the question of sustainability of projects that we are funding, especially when we look at some of the projects, they are very good, they produce good quality. So we really need to support them so that they are sustainable in the future. So sustainability, somehow, we need to indicate about it. And the question of mentorship, because there are many organizations that are well established and successful. So we need to make use of those organizations, we need to partnership with them so that they must mentor the organizations that we are funding really through the NGA. Mm-hmm. Lastly is the duplication of funding. So our partnership will avoid the duplication of funding to the same organizations, because that money could have been spread to other organizations to render service somehow. So if we can partner very well in the organizations, in the different communities, we can also have a good relationship with other people who are funding, like Nestle, as we indicated, that will avoid the duplication of sales or duplication of funding.
Thank you, Chairperson. As we, on the day, as we were looking at the office of SAFA in Tonga, we realize the problem, and it's a problem that come to us and Home Affairs. I don't know how can we come to recommend, but many young ladies in that site, they don't access grant because they already married in the unknown merit. In that place,
that happens, they don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially in those areas, there is the number of Indians from Pakistan and from India, and then some from Bangladesh. And then their way to get an ID is to steal the ID, and they married somewhere. Maybe it's the syndicate in, maybe they are doing that in Pretoria, we don't know. But we find a number of ladies are married by somebody else. And then I think that it must come to the end. And I don't know how can we go to condemn that, but it's a very serious concern in that situation.
I think, can we just get that name again of that area?
It's happening all over, but we were at the Tonga. Tonga office.
Tonga.
It's T-O-N-G-O.
Oh.
Tonga. So there are not the, you go to SAFA's office, they'll give you the pile of the people that come and want to access grant, and they are married with the unknown person. And then you can go maybe even to Mazdar, Mazham, and you find the same thing.
Okay. But why don't we then have a resolution to say that the Department of Home Affairs should please interact with SASSA, with the Minister, with social, with the South African Social Security Agency, to investigate the phenomenon of young women being married to unknown men. And SASSA picked this up. So it was, and you can say it's Kumanzdal, Tonga, I don't know what's the third area. There was another area.
You can say the entire Mpumalanga, because the entire Mpumalanga, that thing has been happened.
Okay, in Mpumalanga.
Yeah, but you find that the person, the woman is in Mpumalanga, and then the marriage. The married man, he married in Pretoria. You'll find that that even young woman doesn't know where is Pretoria. They just tell there is a person who's marrying people, who's registering marriage in Pretoria. And just you steal ID, you run to Pretoria, you get married. Steal an ID, you run to Pretoria, you marry. So there is that thing.
Okay.
Let me check that one. I think these people go to the local magistrate court and they get married then. I'm not of magistrate, the Home Affairs court, the Home Affairs office. And they are married in the Home Affairs office, standing with one lady. So, and the marriage certificate is issued there, but she was never there when marriage took place. She was never there. They can't flow the phone. Believe me, as serious as that before in this marriage. And you know the area where they're living or where they stay, to where they need to go to have this annulled is very far apart. So these people don't even have money anymore. Now when we were there, the people really assisted. And by the end of the day, we knew exactly what happened. But if we are not, how do we know that the assistants are there when we're not there? No, that is what bothers me, because these women,
I think what we need to say, colleagues, that it's unfair for poor women to be set up with this. That's why I say we have to approach Home Affairs and to make sure that things are curbed. Because especially if you're poor, you're going to have to incur costs to go and have this thing now. So if we can have Home Affairs doing a run on these issues and going through these areas, because people will go to the nearest service point that they have in the area and complain. Because government is government, okay? Whether it's Home Affairs or social services or the health or whatever. So I think it's good that SASSA has picked this thing up. We now just need the actual work to be done, because it now also means young women can't access CSG, and their whole future now is compromised. They can't even go to Russell's or to Lutner's. They can't get credit because there's a spouse that they don't know of. But obviously there's also serious problems in Home Affairs itself. Now, that happens with big organizations. And we know that the minister says she's cleaning up. But if we need to assist with that cleaning up process by bringing these things to our attention. So we're going to need more detail around those issues so that we can then actually part of the parcel of issues that we take to the Minister of Home Affairs. Okay? Thanks. Can we conclude, members, because it's lunchtime and I think there's going to be another meeting here.
There was one case where we received a cell phone number where a woman was indicating, remember that woman that you stood with, where she indicated that the officials of SASSA is in cahoots with the people crossing the border, and the border people come very early in the morning to collect their payments. I think it was a checking.
And they go back
again. So let us just look into the full details.
We said Those issues will be part of the whole package of issues around the cross-border issues. So we're packaging everything, okay? Right. Honourable members, the other issue is just the... I'm sure you guys have looked at the... We accept the report with the amendment. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to get that in the outstanding issues. And then the other issue is... we've looked at the program. We just received an email from the committee secretary that we can't have any committee meetings on the 10th because our committee meeting is on the 10th. On the 9th. Yeah. Yeah, in the morning. So we're fine. No, they have to do that. No. Yeah. So it's in the morning. Okay. Yeah. That's the one then. The overseas tour. Yes?
Sorry, Chairperson. With regards to the 9th, the department has asked if we could swap the agenda for the 9th to another date, because on the 9th they're having the strategic planning. The strategic plan of the department.
You see, the department is already in trouble with publishing regulations without consulting with Parliament. Mm-hmm. Now, on the 10th, we have no meeting. We just received an email from the House Chairperson to say that no meetings can take place on the 10th. I'm sure it's for security reasons also, that we are having the State of the Nation address the next day. So we can't shift the date of the 10th, other than the 9th in the morning, because in the afternoon of the 9th, there's a ban on meetings. So it's only the 9th that we can assist. That we've been given the and we can't postpone the meeting date. So if the department doesn't turn up, we are not going to be very happy.
Chairperson, they were requesting if you could swap it with something else.
No.
To another day. It's not possible.
No.
Okay.
No. No, there's nothing. No, I don't know anything. Maybe it's a separate truck. Maybe it's the NCP or something, but something else. Yeah. No, I think maybe she's confused with the social dilemma. The social dilemma, the hearing, public hearing. Yeah. Honourable members, can you adopt the committee program that we presented to you? You fine with it? Thank you. Then the issue of the overseas tour. We've looked at a few countries, am I correct? Yeah. Yeah. I'm meeting the ambassador, the US ambassador, on the 15th of February. So I want to engage him on that matter of a study tour, a possible study tour to the U.S. Then I've also circulated a document to you that I received from UNICEF. You remember we had a meeting with UNICEF, and they also said that there is possible opportunities for the committee. And now this document really establishes the relationship that they should have with Parliament. And we can then look at engaging UNICEF on the basis of that. I just wanted to get the mandate from members myself Honorable Mabakula and Kopane, that we should then engage UNICEF and then look at a possible study tour based on that document, because it didn't have a document previously when we engaged with it. Is that fine? Okay. What we need to do, we need to see if we can't go before March and April during those 2 months on a study tour, our first study tour. And if we can get a sponsored study tour by a UN agency, that will be fine. And then we have more money for a second study tour because Parliament will then have other funds available for us. Is that fine? So if we could look at 2 to 3 study tours for the year, ones that are fully sponsored and done that Parliament can pay. But we know that June is out of the question for the World Cup. Okay. And I'm sure for a month after the World Cup, everyone will be in a coma. Thank you very much.